following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
Take a few minutes here this morning and just to talk to you about the series that God has put up on my heart for these few weeks called Shipwrecked. We're looking at Acts chapter 27, and it's the story of the Apostle Paul. He was a prisoner on his way to Rome. He starts out in the calm harbors of Eastern Mediterranean Sea. We'll see it, that look at that in just a moment. And he ends up in this incredible drama of a shipwrecked and people really scrambling for their lives. An allegory is a story with an underlying meaning or application or translation. I'm preaching this, teaching it, talking through this series with you as Acts 27 as an allegory. It tells a story of a voyage, a storm, a shipwreck, and I think as we study it, we can see an underlying application to marriage and to, in general, relationships. The key this morning as we talk about it is all about a godly marriage. I didn't say a perfect marriage, right? Because there's, I mean, really, let's look at it this way. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Everybody said? Okay, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But we can have a godly marriage. Okay, a spiritual marriage. There's no such thing, and I don't want you to think of being a religious marriage or a religious relationship. I want, let's more grab a hold of the idea, is it godly? Are we putting Christ first in our home, in our marriage, in our relationships? As we review Acts chapter 27, I started out with verses 1 and 2 when it talks about it was decided. It was decided that we would set sail. The idea here that I want to again draw from as far as this allegory, it was decided that we should get married. It was decided that we should develop and begin this relationship. The name of the ship that they got aboard was Adramyttium. The name of that ship, and it meant mansion of death. The good news was it was a mansion. Everybody loves mansions, okay? The bad news was it was a mansion of death. So we're starting in this allegory, in my story, they're starting out this relationship from the sheltered harbor. They're starting off without Christ. And I talked a lot about it last Sunday, and I'll say it again. Basically, any home without Christ at the center is destined for heartache. Did you hear me? That's the crux of this whole thing. So we pick the story up as they start out in the sheltered harbor, and everyone, Mary starts out, and you're honey, and your twinkle toes, and your sweetheart, and thank you, and open doors, and life is good. Okay? You start out in the sheltered harbor, and you move on, and you go from there. So I'm going to pick up the story here this morning, right there, verses 5 through 7 of Acts 27. It says, when we had sailed across the open sea, off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed in Myra in Lycia. There a centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days, and we had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmon. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens. Austin, if you could put the map up there, just let me touch base to give you a little bit of a visual. Some will help, some do not like geography. And everybody say, who doesn't like geography in here? A few? Okay, you all love geography then. Okay, so we see Paul starting over here. And again, here's the promised land. Here's Judea, Jerusalem over there in case you can't read it. They sail across, and here's Cyprus we talked about. And here's where they're landing. And it goes on. There's Salmon. There's Fair Havens. We'll talk about that next week. And they move on, and they finally end up over here in Rome. But we're going to stop right here, here this morning. Probably all the time we have left here this morning is to stop right there. Notice what we have here. Myra is also called, or Myra, whatever way you want to do it. Okay, right there is in the country called, or the state, or the general nation of Lycia. And it's interesting. But the city is also called Lystra. Here's where I want to just kind of change gears with you. Lystra means miracle act, okay? In other words, it's here in our allegory that a miracle happens. Somehow, some way, in our allegory, and Zeke and Zelda, in our story here, okay, Zeke and Zelda go into Myra, or they go into the city Lystra, and a miracle happens, and let me tell you this, they find Christ. Something happens. They're invited to a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoons at 12:30. Woohoo! Okay, they're invited to a Bible study, and they find by a friend, because all friends always invite people to go to ladies' Bible studies, right? Because they have cake there, okay? And so it's part of our life groups. Anyhow, if your ladies want to, every Tuesday afternoon. But maybe Zelda gets invited and she goes to a Bible study. Or somehow they, in the process of their life, they find Christ. Maybe they get a sore book in the mail and they start reading the incredible stories that are in that book and they find Christ. Whatever happens, a miracle happens here. They land, one or both of them give their lives to Christ. Here's my point here on this. Guys, there's always a miracle waiting because God understands exactly where we are. He understands exactly what we need, that we're on this ship called the mansion of death, and if nothing changes, we're on our way to destruction. But God is always willing, because God says, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So he's wanting a miracle to take place in every one of our lives, a miracle that brings us closer to Jesus. We see this happening right here. It's called new birth. I want you to hear me this morning. If you're here this morning in any type of relationship, maybe you're married or you're in a relationship or your family and you need a miracle. I don't know about you guys. Can I just say it this way? We serve a God of miracles, okay? And there is a mirror waiting for every one of us as we put our trust in God. And I want to encourage us here this morning. He knows our struggles. He knows all of the issues we battle. He knows the tension maybe in your relationship right now. He knows the tension maybe with your finances, maybe with your health. He knows that tension, and he's saying, I've got a miracle waiting. I've got a mirror waiting for you. Maybe the ship of life has been sailing along. You need a miracle. Your mirror is available for us here. We need to understand. Here's a cool little insight, and this is kind of a challenging one too. Cool little insight as we look at this, okay? Mira is off the province, or in the province, as we saw, in the province of Lycia. Lycia, this was interesting as you look at the definition. Lycia means wolf. Somebody say wolf. So therefore, this miracle happens right in the middle of, follow me, wolf country. Okay? If you see that, how many of you know every one of us, we're sheep and we're living in wolf country? There's a lot of things out there that are trying to devour. The Bible says that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Guess what? We are in that. How many of you know there are a lot of obstacles to a successful family? There are a lot of obstacles to a home that wants to move together in the miracle that God has provided for them. There are a lot of obstacles out there. It's called wolf country. But I want you to tell you once again, I believe that we have a Savior whose name is Jesus. We have a God in heaven who has all things under control, who is able to do what? Perform a miracle right in the midst of wolf country. Are you with me? See? So we see here, again, noticing, oh, this is such a fun little thought. I hope you guys are getting this. Verses 6 and 7, something interesting happens. So they go into Myra, a miracle happens, okay, and they start setting sail once again, but they have to set sail. They move from a mansion of death. They change ships here. Once again, in the middle of this wolf country, okay, a miracle happens. I want you to know that no matter how bad things are for you right now, a miracle can happen. And here's what happens. You change ships. You move away from the mansion of death to a ship that is bound for Alexandria. And the name Alexandria, the word Alexandria, it is so interesting that that means defender of man. So you're trying to sail through your life all on your own, and you're doing all these things, and finally God comes into your life, you say yes to Jesus, and all of a sudden from that point on, all of a sudden now Jesus is in your boat with you. Jesus is in your life, he's in your marriage, he's in your relationship, and he is there, and you're on this new ship bound for Italy, and it's called Defender of Man. The bad news is wolf country. And there are attacks in the home and the family from all sides. But the good news, there was a miracle back in Mira. Christ knows how to defeat wolves. And there is a new thing now happening. The enemy may be stalking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But there's also one that we begin to serve now that is greater than lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. oh my goodness, all of a sudden things change. And why do they change? Why do things change? It's because we begin keeping Christ at the center of our relationship. We started out as non-Christians, but we find Christ. And let me go back to our series that we did several weeks ago on God Is, and just remind you of two little phrases that we talked about. One is, it is more important for us to know God and who He is than just believe in Him. The demons of hell believe in God, but they tremble. We must know who He is. And for every one of us in here, we must not only believe in God, but we must know in our marriages, in our families, in our homes, that He is our defender. He is our strong tower. He is our shelter. He is our refuge. He is the one that we can go to. I love this thought that a friend of mine passed on to me a couple weeks ago. The Bible says He's our rock and our fortress. We sing about the righteous run to it and they are safe. That's the scripture. The righteous run to it. He is our strong tower. The word safe here means spiraling upward. So what it literally means is when we begin to depend upon God as our defender of man, as our rock and our fortress, He allows us to begin to spiral upward out of a place of danger. We're safe. We're able to walk up those steps. He's helped. Do you get that picture? He lifts us up. He is the joy and the lifter of our head. So it's amazing as we see all of these little things coming to bear. So again, in verse 7, they're sailing again now, okay? They're sailing now as new Christians. They're sailing now as Jesus is the defender. And can I ask you here this morning and challenge us here that no matter what we are going through, Jesus is our defender. He's the center of our home. He's the center of our family. He's the center of our relationship. And therefore, whatever we're going through, again, He's the one that we can push across the table and say, wow, Jesus, could you take care of this? Why? Because He's my defender, okay? He is our fortress and our tower. So they begin sailing again and new life in Christ and Jesus as their defender. And I'm going to skip down a bunch and just close here this morning with a few little closing issues here, okay? And so, Austin, follow through. Help me out here. I'm going to skip a bunch. We'll come back and touch it next week. But see, the enemy, the wolf, would love to hinder us here and say that there is no hope, but there's no one greater in this world than Jesus to come alongside and help us. Okay? Our hope is in Him. And for every mom here, I said it already this morning, but I reiterate it here again. There's hope for every one of you through Jesus Christ. You carry so much. You hold on so much. You know what? I live with a mom, so I know that. Okay? I know how much they carry, but we have this anchor as a hope, and His name is Jesus. You see, this is what it means to have Christ in our marriage and in our home. It means He will stand with us. It means that He will walk with us. It means that He will help us make it through. It means that He will help us to be happy, to be stronger, to be more secure. It means He would help us. It means that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say that with me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Notice something. How many of you know God is omnipotent? What does that mean? All powerful. God's all powerful. So therefore, we know that there is nothing impossible to God. But this verse throws an interesting word in. It says with God. The word with there means to literally to come alongside of or to join in partnership with or to be in tandem. Okay? So therefore, as I walk with the God who has nothing out there that is impossible for Him, as I join Him, therefore, with me, also, nothing is impossible because I'm with Him. Okay? With God, nothing is impossible. We see that. So as Erica comes to the piano, I want to close with one little last application. And again, here's our challenge this morning. Okay? Acts chapter 27, verse, I'm going to go, Austin, I'm going to jump down to verses 8 and 9. Okay? We'll come back to some things next week. We moved along the coast with great difficulty, and we came to a place called Fair Havens. Verse 9, much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous. See, verse 9, much time had been lost, reflects back to moving along the coast with difficulty. Okay? So in other words, things were not going the best, even in their marriage, even in a Christian marriage. How many know that even in a Christian marriage, those things sometimes just did not work perfectly? Okay, we'll talk about that next week, but okay, so come back next week to see some solutions, okay? But verse 9 reflects, and I want to go there first before we talk about this Fair Havens and this place called Good Harbors, okay? Because the application here, I think, is very simple and pretty profound. We have my little imaginary couple, say Zeke and Zelda with me, okay? We have Zeke and Zelda, and they find Christ, and life is good, but it becomes difficult as they begin to adjust, and they get thrown off course, They land in a place called Fair Havens. Fair Havens means good harbors. Again, we'll talk about that. But the key I want to emphasize here this morning, and the challenge I want to lay before us here this morning, is verse 9. Scary little phrase here. And it says, but much time had been lost. Wow. Much time had been lost. You see, when we're not praying together, much time is lost. When we're not teaching our children the Word of God, much time is lost. When we're not serving the Lord together as a couple, as a family, much time is lost. When we're not being faithful to church, much time is being lost. When we allow the winds of adversity to affect our home, when we allow the winds of adversity to blow us off course, we lose time that it will be very, very difficult to make up. I hear often this phrase, well, after my children are raised, I'm going to get serious about God and church. Wow, how much time is wasted there in the meantime? See? And there's my challenge for us here this morning. I want to challenge us, just throw it out there to all of us here. Now is the time to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now is the time we're going to make a new resolve to pray together as a family. It doesn't have to be everyone get around the altar and just pray for 3 hours. No, we're just going to begin to pray together as a family. Make, again, not to be perfect or not to be religious, just to be godly. Now is the time to determine, I'm going to go to church more regularly. I'm going to be a better example. Now is the time to allow the defender of man to rule in my home. Now is the time. Years ago, I used to have this insane habit of going fishing every Monday morning. It was my day off, and I lived in Southwest Washington, and I enjoyed going out every morning either to the Cowlitz River, the Toodle River, sometimes the Carbon River, the Green River, East Fork of the Lewis. I would go out every Monday morning, I'd go fishing. This one particular winter, I went out on these Monday mornings, and I went to a place called Blue Creek on Cowlitz River. Some of you have heard of it, it's pretty famous for steelhead. One morning I counted 117 guys along the river. So it's combat fishing, we called it, okay? And so, in the process of going every Monday morning, I also happened to find out that there are other people that showed up every Monday morning. One of those guys, his name was Leo. And we had one particular area of the, there was real fast water down here on Blue Creek. And there was an area right here that was real slow water. We called Frog Pond Frog Water because it was really much slower. I didn't really know how to fish that water properly. And so I was trying all different kinds of things. And Leo became my friend. And not all fishermen share secrets. Hello, they're very private about what they're using. What are you using? Oh, a hook. Or that famous DuPont spinner. Those things are everywhere. Nobody really uses them. They just have them everywhere and they lie. But anyhow. And so I got to know Leo. And Leo helped me learn how to fish the frog water, the frog pond, the slower water. He taught me about changing my line and length of line and my swivels and weights. And he learned, taught me, size of the corky. And I ended up being quite successful catching steelhead in the frog pond because Leo taught me. In the process, I got to know Leo a lot. And over the process of weeks, one day, he asked me that terrible question. By the way, what do you do? And I said, well, Leo, I'm a pastor. And he literally dropped his rod and he looked at me and goes, a pastor? I go, yeah, I pastor in Centralia. Been pastoring all my life. And Leo got literally deathly quiet. And here's what he said. His G. Loomis in front of him, pulled it in, tucked it in his hip boots, crossed his arms and said, you know, and he called me Reverend. First time he'd ever called me anything other than Bill. He says, you know, Reverend, I used to go to church. And he told me the story. He says, I used to go to church. I grew up in Sunday school. And in high school, I taught the little children. And then as I got older, we got married. In the first few weeks and months of our marriage, we went to church. And then next, what happened? Then we started to have children. We got busy with our children. We started taking them to everywhere and doing everything. And here's what he said. And you know, Reverend, we just kind of got out of the habit. In the back of my mind, Reverend, I always wished we could get going back to church, but we just got too busy. And I said, well, Leo, what's your kids doing now? Where are they? He says, you know, one of them won't talk to me. One of them lives on the other East Coast, and we don't have a very good relationship at all. And I said, so Leo, none of your kids are serving the Lord. He says, none of them at all. Are you serving the Lord, Leo? He goes, no, not at all. He said, I haven't darkened the door of a church since I left before when my kids started growing up. And I had an opportunity to share Christ and share my faith with Leo. But as I reiterate that story to you, I say to you here this morning, look at how much time was lost. Look at what happened to Leo. Just one example, probably of many. But the point here again is, wait a minute, they started sailing. They got married, and they started sailing. And all of a sudden, they, in the midst of all of the stuff, they started sailing. They got their lives right with God. They started walking with Jesus. But something happened, and we'll talk about the winds. We'll talk about those things next Sunday. But those things started happening to them, and it blew them off course. And they never got back on. Much time was lost. So I don't know where you are here this morning, but can I challenge you here? Let's as a church, as families, and Inspire Church, what do you say? Let's kind of pack together. Let's stop wasting time. Let's stop losing time with our family. Joshua 24:15 just simply says, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can we make that admonition, that challenge here this morning? My assumption is most of you here, you know Christ, and you're walking with the Lord, and that's awesome. Okay, that's great. What do you say? Let's keep sailing together. We've had a Myra happen, a miracle, and we're on a new ship where he's the defender of man. And now, let's not lose any time. Let's keep serving Jesus. Let's keep living for God. Would you say amen to that? Bow your heads.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.